something wrong with mayhem, and then I show you mayhem and say it's all right. But the truth of the matter is that any one of these drills actually takes a very long time to really get into good shape. The academy spends a couple of weeks calm course and at least 1 week of upper indoctrination before they even let anybody near a process. It's about 3 weeks before they let anybody near a process. Pretty interesting, huh? And academy training, by the way, has changed quite remarkably. It is remarkable to the degree that it has shifted just in the last 4 or 5 months. But it's been holding at a very high consistency here for some time. But we've been making awful sure that it's grooved. You know, I've told you that's it an awful lot of times. Awful lot of times. But all I'm telling you now is that we've hit a plateau. I don't say we couldn't go up from this, but I will say that the communication course, these first training steps, which you have seen, has, it's been difficult to settle it down at times, but it has been consistent for over a year, and the processes which are being done right this minute are the processes which were developed in fairly early 1956. It's quite remarkable. You've seen some of these processes before. This is a level of constancy. It's just that we're doing it more thoroughly. Upper indoctrination, you haven't seen too much of. Even the 15th and 16th ACCs did not see too much of these upper indoctrination steps. Those begin with simple AC and continue through high school indoc, go through to tone 40 on an object, and then tone 40 on a person. And those are the upper indoctrination steps. These are the rougher steps. When a person has passed through those and goes back to the communication course, he finds out something has changed. He can do the communication course now standing on his head. Funny part of it is, his instructors very often say, well, why then don't we start out with tone 40 on an object? Because people can do these communication steps so beautifully after they finished upper indoc. So every once in a while, we take somebody and start him out on tone 40 on an object and put him through the communication course, and he can't do tone 40 on an object. Or he can't do the communication course. So the proper route up is probably more or less as it is right now in the academy. Going through the academy these days is quite an adventure. I think any of the students around here have been with it for a little while. Like the Unite HCA or Bay HCA courses, I could agree with that. It's quite remarkable as an activity. They have 3 rooms, and one of these rooms takes care of the communication course, which are these first few steps, and then the next room takes care of upper indoctrination, and that's down in the basement where they can't knock out the concrete walls. And then they have the CCH classroom where they taught the CCH steps. The ACC, which is just about to begin, the 18th ACC, takes these very things which I've been showing you here and which you've been drilling on in the seminars, and takes these things and pushes them up to a knee plus ultra. There's only one, all ACCs are, they have an experimental aspect. What is learned in an ACC is usually eventually passed on to an HCA. The HCA course has settled down now at the level of about the 17th ACC or a little bit better. But the 18th ACC, which is coming up and just starts Monday, will take these same steps, exactly these same steps, and pushes them through with a thud, with only one purpose in mind. Is to find out how arduously people can be trained. There's no doubt now that they can be trained. Now that is the experimental aspect of the 18th ACC, is how arduously can be trained. Where is the break point in Homo sapiens? We can certainly discover it in Homo sapiens if we can bust up Scientologists. And that is actually, overtly, what is going to happen in the 18th ACC. I will consider it a complete failure if there's one student in the 18th ACC who doesn't, sometime or another, during the course, blow. Who doesn't quit, start out the door, say it's impossible, nobody can take this sort of thing, and try to go over the hills and far away. Now that is the, that's the 18th ACC just coming up. Now to give you some kind of an idea, I noticed a couple of the instructors started to turn up the coat collar so they won't be recognized. But the instructors on that it's a very deceptive course in that it starts out with Mary Sue. And you know that Mary Sue is very sweet, and she's very nice, and she is very pleasant. So we'll at least let people into the course that gently. Upper End Doc is taught by Ken Barrett. And Ken Barrett has not yet learned how hard he can press. Then the two CCH units, there are two CCH units there. One is taught by Jan Halpern, and the other is taught by Dick Halpern. These are old-time experts at putting on the pressure. We think it is possible to clear people in 6 weeks of instruction if enough hard thumbs are used. Do you see that? And that is the goal of that 18th ACC. HCA isn't quite this rough. The in-doc there is conducted by a very, very fine indoctrination instructor, Fernando Estrada. And once more, we let them in fairly easily. We have very pleasant, very charming Marcia Estrada on the concourse. And John Fudge takes the upper CCH activities and processes as director training. They very definitely a going concern these days. Boy, it certainly doesn't even resemble an academy course of a year ago. You know, it's taken 7 years to learn how to do this sort of thing. And the bulk of our information to you is apparently Scientology, its developments, and so on. And you see how this subject has developed and get some subjective reality on what it can do. You believe that that is the research sector of Scientology. Well, that research sector is more or less handled by myself, and it is even slightly independent in its own courses. It takes place in ACCs, it takes place in our workaday world. But the organization itself wouldn't agree with you that that was the upper reach of what has been learned. The people in the FC, Central Organization, would tell you what has been learned has been organization. What is organization? As soon as we found out that an organization ain't, we had it made. We just found out then that there were certain duties to be performed, and each of these duties had to be performed by a person, and that person had to be informed of what these duties were and had a purpose for those duties. And after that, why, we're not straining at it. These poor people who go around trying to make organizations. Listen, organizations aren't. They don't exist. And the people, Dick Steves, would tell you that's the most we have learned. That'd be his viewpoint on the thing. And the other thing that we've learned would be from the viewpoint of the remainder of staff, they would say, well, what we've learned is how to train people, how to make people, how to build up an entirely new person with training skills. And they'd say that is what we have learned how to do. And these things actually have been learned by the people in the organization. It's quite a remarkable game all by itself. I was talking to some of the other babies. He says, you know, he says, I just ache to get hold of an infantry company and put all their hats on as to what they're supposed to do and train them so that they can control a nest. So the officers can handle men and the men can handle weapons. And so they can communicate with one another and so that they can engage upon their individual activities as they were supposed to. And so I just ache to do this. He said that they'd once throw away their weapons. They'd find out that the least useful thing they possessed was a weapon. Ah, but you say, well, you can't talk the enemy into surrendering. I'm not so sure. I'm not at all so sure. First, I'll give you a difference of attitude that can take place in one man. Fellow says he's having an awful lot of trouble with his boss. Can't talk to his boss, and his boss nags him all the time without any cause or reason. He just always gets nagged, and he's always being mean to him. Auditor sat down and ran this person. About a comparable magnitude to that boss. Nothing else happened. There were no other changes. And this mystic, odd thing occurred. His boss at once stopped nagging him. Not because he was being more or less efficient, because the boss couldn't observe that well. But he just stopped nagging him, stopped getting him a bad time, and the problems in the real world folded up the moment they folded up in that fellow's skull. Remember, when the present time problem was flat, he didn't have any problems with these other people. But if you get what I'm striving at here, the people were the ones who were causing the problem. And when the preacher had problems of comparable to run flat, then these people out here who hadn't been processed ceased to give him the problems. Mystic. Mysterious, isn't it? Sort of like how you influence things at a distance and all that sort of thing. And yet that has occurred rather repeatedly. Some people haven't tried to observe this. I'll give you an idea on this. One day I was having a lot of trouble with the only office which I think should be purchased back by the British people. And the British people should pick up a collection and buy this office back. And that's the Aliens Office. And the Aliens Office of Great Britain. And they've taken their cue from the Immigration Office of the Department of Injustice. And they're pretty ornery. Well, I'd been having trouble with them and trouble with them and trouble with them and trouble with them. And one day I sat down with an auditor. I was getting a session, and the auditor said, you know, this is a good idea. Let's see, you know. It wasn't quite a proper process because the alien's office is not, strictly speaking, an object. But he said, give me a problem, call them back to the alien's office. And I ran through the gamut of no problem. Problem too horrible to face. So what? Problem comparable magnitude to the alien's office would be a fleck of dust settling on that light bulb, and the problem would be how to blow it off the light bulb. The alien's office called me up a couple of days later and said they hadn't passport straightened on and haven't had any trouble with them since. Rather fabulous. Now, what did my letter to process, and not again talking to the alien's office, had to do with the alien's office treating me that way? See, nothing obvious. Now, a fellow has to be got trouble with his business and so forth. One problem comparable magnitude to do his business. Problem comparable magnitude to his business. No. It's very funny. I get a lot of auditing, by the way. I just finished about a 20-hour intensive before this Congress. And I'm going to tell this now because the staff will think it's funny. This is one on the staff, they don't know this. The auditor ran me on problems of comparable magnitude to the FC staff. You know, they're always coming in with a horrible wreck that just wrecked and dumping it on my desk and saying proudly, what do I do about this? And various things are colliding in one way or another in the organization. It runs pretty smoothly by and large, but it's ran with problem comparable magnitude. Well, I had a pretty big problem out of this, you know. And driving in my anchor points and so forth. And the only person we've had any trouble with since that was run has been a person who wasn't on staff at that time. That's right, isn't it? The only trouble which has occurred has been from a person who wasn't on staff at the time this was on. And nobody's brought in any problems to me at all. I don't know why this is. They used to think this was the only way they could get to talk to me if we had a big problem. Staff is terrific. Just absolutely terrific. They actually have no great problem. And it was rather amusing when I looked back on it and found out that the person who wasn't present when I audited that did cause later some trouble, and there was no other trouble caused of any kind. So this factor we don't have our fingers on. But we can theorize and say that the person himself carries along the restimulative factors which set commotions into action in his vicinity. In other words, that an individual carries with him the turbulence which restimulates others and causes them to react against him. Now, we can see that mechanically, theorizing on it one way or the other. We do have some supportive evidence. It's quite amazing. Every time somebody who is stark staring crazy comes near the organization or is brought in, lugged in one way or the other, by the relatives or something, we're not in this business, you see. But once in a while, this happens. Somebody gets dragged in, and they're going there's always a commotion going on, just as though you'd thrown a brick in the middle of a mill pond, see? Thud, plunk, there go the waves of commotion. Person gets audited. No more commotion. This is weird, isn't it? If one continued to specialize in psychos, he could always expect the immediate vicinity of the psycho to interbulate. Not because the psycho has anything to do with it. This crazy person doesn't have really any knowing effect on his environment. But he does have an effect on his environment. There's some sort of interbulated, confused machinery which re-stimulates the confusions in others, and they get this reaction. Now, a Scientologist who can handle confusion is generally not very confused about this. But sometimes the pieces of paper start flying up in the air, and he's quite amazed. This amount of commotion. There's always tremendous numbers of problems. You'd think just dragging somebody in the front door and saying, "Let's go to the auditing room," you'd think this would be a fairly easy action. And the people who run high school in Doc could accomplish this with the greatest of ease. But the funny part of it is the commotion is no longer caused to us by the psycho. We can take care of the psycho, but the restimulated relative comes around and gives us a bad check, has to have another liaison with something or other, has to have a couple of favors over this way, and the next thing you know, it's this person who is interpolated. The only thing the front office, the organization, has never gotten wise to is the fact that they have to run Tone 40 HC on anybody connected with a crazy person. Just take in the whole environment. Doesn't matter what or who, husband, wife, parents, aunts, uncles, then the psychiatrist, if you got to get that low. Just take the whole works. I just have to run Tone 48C on the whole works. Otherwise, you get this tremendous turbulence and confusion and meaningless pieces of paper flying around. I can always tell when one has walked in the front door because the dispatch lines of the organization momentarily treble and then damp down again. So very interesting. Dispatches coming through. You all of a sudden get a tremendous lot of dispatch from an area that you hadn't noticed before, you see. It'll be some person connected with this person who has just been brought in, and they will be causing some other a bright commotion, which probably has nothing to do with the cycle. You see this? So if we just stacked up a bunch of bowling balls here, one after the other, you know that if you hit this one, that one theoretically moves out, the rest stay still. Well, that is a beautiful experiment. I don't know what it means. I learned it. It's a very nice experiment, but it tells us nothing. If we kick Private Alpha, then Private Z does not fly off the other end of the line. We'll point that out to your attention. We stack a bunch of men up here, and we kick this man doesn't say ouch. See? Human beings do not run according to physical laws. But if we take this stack of men and we interbulate this fellow, we will get a confusion passed on to this one, a confusion to this one, a confusion to this one, and it's damped out rather rapidly, but you get a concatenation or a definite contagion of confusion. And that's about all that happens in the physical side of man's nature. These confusions are contagious. That's very funny. The psychologist. I don't know what these fellows were doing for 50, 100 years. They must have been doing something. They've noticed mass hysteria, and they talk about mass hysteria, but there is no mechanics, no description of mass hysteria or how it starts. They study it, they say it is. They study it, they notice a whole room full of people will suddenly become very hysterical, and they don't think that the bank has anything to do. They don't know the bank exists, they have some mass, and you get the idea, there isn't anything there. They have noticed that suddenly somebody gets hysterical and a lot of other people around them get hysterical at the same time, see? They noticed this occurred. And this is mass hysteria. Well, I don't know that there is such a thing. I don't know, see? I have never myself witnessed the perfect case, which I think is a Southern mill where all the women went hysterical at the same time. I don't know. I don't think anybody observed whether they went hysterical at the same time. And I don't think it was even ever accurately observed because you've got that much confusion going from person to person where they all apparently simultaneously blew off into space. The person watching it was re-stimulated and therefore was not a reliable observer. So we wouldn't know too much about this mass hysteria. We do know about this other factor. We get this contagion, and gradually people get hysterical. Now, it's true that an army evidently starts running, but that's quite apparent. If a soldier's standing there and he finds out the soldier to the right and the soldier to the left have already left, makes him feel alone and he leaves. We don't need any esoteric explanation of that. But we do need one about this contagion. We do find out that people who can handle problems with relationship to any particular sphere, these people do not get involved in the same type of problem again. See, that's interesting. In other words, these are the only accurate facts we know, that people do re-stimulate in the vicinity of re-stimulated people, and that problems of comparable magnitude run on these people, then make them immune to this re-stimulation, which is quite an amazing thing, to know that much and know it positively and well. Now, what the mechanics are, that's something else. That's not too easily done. If you made people mock up confusions and become habituated to confusions of one kind or another, you say that would do it. Well, I have no evidence that it does. And that is the only reason why I make a cautious statement on it. You get a postulate going around, however, that everybody ought to go and act like they're mad, and you generally will get people going and acting like they're mad. Now, that's enough to know about it. So, an auditor... Now we get up to this drill again. An auditor must be able to handle the confusions and motions and interpolations to which he is subjected in auditing preclears, otherwise he will re-stimulate. Don't you see? Well, these drills run this out. It's actually a sort of a process. His confidence comes up. He finds out that he doesn't have to stop and be controlled by all of this confused motion. Now, you saw these people up on the stage here in this last hour. They were doing a drill. Now, if they did that drill to where they could do it perfectly, that sort of thing, they would have very little trouble from people. That's high school inbound. But supposing these people, by their own postulate, cutting through all confusions, could influence nest or people with no more than a postulate. Now we know why we're talking about tone 40 auditing. Not only would they themselves have to be at a place where they were no longer confused every time they saw confusion in their vicinity, but they will also have to be able to cut through any confusion of their own or any confusion of anyone else and make the intention and postulate go through and stick and be executed. Now, the next two steps of upper indoc are devoted to that. It was all very well for an auditor to continue to audit somebody in spite of the efforts of that person to stop him. That was all very well, and a very necessary step. But how about this next one? To get an intention to cut directly and cleanly through any confusion of his own and any confusion of anyone else's. Straight through to the person at the bottom of all this and get an execution in action. And that is the goal of the Tone 40 processes. Now, actually, you knew about high school improv before. You knew about a lot of these other things, but I had not publicly or broadly talked about Tone 40. Now, that's what Tone 40 is all about. A person not only gets the confidence that he can continue to perform in the vicinity of people who are confused, but also gets the confidence that this confusion does not stop his intentions, directions, or his attainment to his own goals. That child who said, "I want to be a painter," and was arrested and stopped by the confusion of the environment from attaining his goal, was unable to make an intention stick. Isn't that true? He just wasn't able to make it stick. And he becomes disabused of the idea. He finds out that he feels that he can't, because he himself didn't know exactly what he was trying to do with this intention, or through what it had to go. He himself could be defeated by these counter-confusions. Don't you see? Well, then don't consider it odd that a person who works on an object, on Tone 40 on an object, and gets to a point where he can make a clear, clean intention go through his own bank to a messed object, then improves in his ability to handle his own life and his goals. He's doing what he tried to do when he was a kid and wanted to be a painter, but now he can do it, and right in present time. We ignore cutting through any bank. We ignore going through any confusion. We ignore the confusion. We don't not, is it? We just drill a person until he discovers that it is incapable of stopping him or burying his intention. And when he's learned that, the funniest things happen. Psycho walks in, going all sixes and sevens, very, very confused. The auditor says, "Sit down in the chair," and Psycho sits down. "Tell me your name, rank, serial number." Psycho tells his name, rank, serial number. Nobody else has ever been in communication with this person. Well, we're not then studying purely communication. We're studying something else, which is the interchange of intention. We're studying something else. It's non-verbal. It is an intention which goes through perfectly clean and clear and independent of. And you're seeing here in Tone 40 auditing the first actual result which came about from nonverbal processing, which we were attempting to do in Phoenix in 1954-55. Remember that? Non-mess processing. We're trying to bypass the con lines one way or the other. Well, today we can do this, and do this rather easily, because we have some training drills which promote a person up to doing it. Now, I haven't the foggiest notion of how high these drills go. I haven't the least notion at all. I don't know, but that an intention cannot go up to a point where a piece of mess will disobey natural law and obey the auditor. I do not know that this will not happen. Do you understand that? I do not say this will happen, but I do not know that it will not happen. In the first place, there's a historical record on the fact that there have been people in the immediate background, not 800 years ago, in accurate record, who were able to make nest fly through the air simply by intending it to. And I'm not trying to oversell this idea. I'm not trying to raise your hopes, saying, well, all you had to do is say to the automobile, "Be 5 feet in the air," it's 5 feet in the air, change the tire. I'm not trying to tell you that would occur. But I'm also trying to make it very clear that I'm not saying it will not occur. Do you understand that? I don't know what would happen if somebody drilled on this for 80 or 100 hours, because I don't think anybody has ever drilled on it that long. The maximum length of time is probably in the vicinity of 12, 15, 20 hours for most people. And I think the longest it's ever been run, I think 30 hours, 25 or 30 hours. Fellow was having an awful lot of trouble with it at the beginning. But how about the fellow who didn't have very much trouble with it at the beginning? Supposing he had run it 80 to 100 hours. Well, would it happen or wouldn't it happen? Well, this we're not going to try to answer. No reason to answer that question. An individual can answer that question himself. Now, here's the oddity. On tone 40 on an object. On tone 40 on an object. We are only trying to put the intention into the object. We're not doing the same as that lower communication drill which you did. You do want to know some more about these drills, don't you? Now, the lower drill there is Dear Alice. Well, you're supposed to get the intention, the phrase, and so forth across to the preclear, and it's supposed to go across the preclear, and you'd say offhand. That's more or less the same thing. No, it isn't at all. You have flattened it to some degree on a person. And a person isn't missed. This is missed. You'd be surprised at the reactions of people trying to command missed directly. Remember, people haven't been in good communication with mess. They haven't been telling it to do things for a very long time, just telling it to do things and it did them. And the backlog of this sort of thing, these failures and so forth, tend to go into re-stimulation when we run tone 40 on an object. You see, that's the essence of the drill. Now, all we want to have happen is that the individual gets across to this thing. Of course, he tells it to sit down, but it can't hear. He says, sit down, and the intention for the thing to sit down definitely must arrive in the object, and the object must in itself be permeated with this intention to sit down. And when the object is down, the individual must now permeate it with the idea that it will accept, or in the willingness that it will accept his acknowledgement. See, this thing's got to be in a receptive mood. That's the intention that goes through for the acknowledgement to come through. You see that? And then the acknowledgement goes through. These are just two steps. The other one, that's one cycle, is stand up. And we say to this thing, stand up, pick it up with a hand, and say, thank you. That's all. So the drill is composed simply of this, and this is idiotic in its simplicity. The reason we don't use tone 40 commands on it is that the individual would have a tendency then to just groove these commands, you see. He just, you know, he'd get used to them and he'd say, that's fine, and he would be tone 40 as long as he was using HC commands. Well, we give him some other type of command, and it doesn't much matter, but this is the command of the drill. First, sit down. Thank you. Stand up. Thank you. That's all there is to the drill. Silly, isn't it? Dick Steves, come up here. This is a dirty trick, you know. How about standing right over there on that edge of that chair and giving these folks a good example of this, huh? All right, now he's just going to run tone 40, and I am the coach. Got that? Again, we have a coach. I'm the coach. That's all right. That's all right. Look at that string. Okay. This is Dick Steves, in case you don't know. He is the fellow chiefly responsible for Garlis' good order and discipline that's made this a good Congress. The one that's responsible for all of the good music, of course, is Mary Adams. The one that's responsible for all of your somatics is myself. Now, I'm the coach, and I'm simply going to ask him to run this. And will you please run this badly for me? Okay. He's going to run this very badly. I'll just show you how we begin. But I'm going to torture you. Now, what I want you to do, this is called tone play on an object, what I want you to do is to tell this thing to stand up. And then thank it for having stood up. And then tell it to sit down and thank it for having sat down. And use your hand to assist it to move. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want you to do. All right, now you do that. Would you please?
Thing, stand up. Thank you.
Well, you think that's tone 40, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Now, let's get better than that now. Come on, let's go. All right.
All right, thing, sit down.
No, the command's around. You just say, sit down.
Oh, sit down. Thank you.
All right, let's stand up.
Stand up. Thank you.
He's having a hard time. He couldn't do this wrong if he had to. It's a good
idea. Let me do it, you know.
Huh? Yeah, do it good now.
Oh, do it good?
Yeah, do it good.
All right. Sit down. Thank you.
Go on.
Stand up. Thank you.
Good.
Sit down. Thank you.
That's all. That's all it is to that. That's really all it is to the drill. But he knows, and his coach knows, whether or not he's reaching it. Now, give it a very bad one, and maybe the audience can tell when you are and when you aren't. Give it a real sour one. Talk to your shoulder or something.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
Okay. Now, in order to do that, you have to talk to other things than this, but it's to yours. That's right. Now, that's all there is to the drill. That is all there is to that drill. That's quite remarkable, isn't it? As simple as that, for somebody to have to spend a couple of days on it, long days too, in an HCA class, and probably have to repeat the upper indot course too, with the bargain of two more days on it, something like that. Pretty wild. 2 days are assigned to it, so it must have some validity. It's all very difficult, but you know, this was wound by Ian Baird. That says. Well, now this particular item, or a colored ashtray, but not a white, an invisible clear glass, would be anything that you would use. A colored ashtray is the preferred, without anything in it. Got that? Fine. Do it right a couple of times, full cycle then.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you. Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ed. That is tone 40 on an object. Now you say, well, now we ought to make it more complicated than that. No, that's the trouble with you. The attainment of that much simplicity requires sheer genius. Stand up. Sit down. Stand up. Sit down. People are just going around through the bank on complexities. See? To do it simply is something. Come here, Joyce Bell. She says, I want to show people a little bit more about coaching this. Come on. She'll never forgive me for this. Now, the reason is Joyce Bell. She's She really has a very great acquaintance with Nest. She can make it sit up and look like things. She's a sculptress. Well, she shouldn't go to any trouble with this at all, which is why I picked her. But I want to show you how you coach this sort of thing. All right? Now, this is 10:41 in Upton. And I want you to just feel that and get accustomed to it. Good. Now, I want you to tell this to stand up and then take your hand and make it stand up and then say thank you. And then I want you to tell it to sit down and then with your hand, sit it down and then thank it. Now, you just do that. Go ahead.
And I
have
to stand up before
tell it stand up and then pick it up.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
All right, good smell.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
Just feel peculiar?
I love that.
Feel a bit peculiar, huh? What's your idea of that?
Well, you know, I believe that if I really thought that would do that, on my command, it would.
Oh, you're so right.
But it's just my getting to the point where I think it will.
Well, this time I'll ask you to run it with a total non-verbalization so we can get the idea of intention. Now, without saying a word, this is part of the drill. This is really just standard coaching I'm giving you, and I'm trying to give you an example of how you coach this. You got it? An example of how it is done. And this would be one of the things done. I'm not going to ask her to flatten these things one after the other, because that would take time. That way I'm going to give you the standard steps here. I want you to put the intention in it and just not say anything. And then take your hand and put the thank you in it, and then put the intention in it to sit down, and then the intention in it to receive your thanks. That's all I want to do. Okay, now just do that.
Okay.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. But it could be better.
Oh, you yourself now have some inkling of how good it is or how bad it is. Isn't that interesting? That is interesting, though.
Yes.
And this is one of the weird things about tone 40 on an object, is the person doing it is always his worst critic. He knows he's doing it, or he knows he doesn't feel it. I've never seen anybody yet fake this. If he did, the coach could also tell. The coach gets quite perceptive on this. Let's do it silently a couple more times.
All right. You know what? It sometimes takes a little time to get that attention.
That's right. That's right. Always in the early stages, you generally find that Nest has entered into it to the degree that time is added. I thought you were doing that right well, as a matter of fact. It was better than the first time you did it, wasn't it?
Yes.
Quite a bit, huh?
Yes.
All right. Now I want you to say gobbledygook with the intention in it to stand up, but substitute for that the word gobbledygook.
All right.
Can't you make gobbledygook mean stand up?
Well, that's the difficulty.
All right, we'll do it.
All right. Gobbledygook. Same word?
Gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook.
Good. Tell us, sit down. Gobbledygook.
She did. Gobbledygook.
Ah.
Yeah, but what I do is something else.
What do you
do? Well, I mentally say the word first.
Yeah.
And then I substitute verbalization.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we won't try to flatten that. I will go further on this, and I will ask you to do this now. I will ask you simply to repeat the drill cleanly. Now tell it to stand up. Thank you. Tell her to sit down.
Thank you.
You see, a normal coaching line, we'd go right ahead and make a flat in that. Until the word gobbledygook couldn't sit down.
That'd take a while,
that's right. Okay.
Okay. Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
All right. Where'd that last thank you go, Jason?
Boy, that was wild. It sure didn't go into that. I could feel it just all over.
That's right.
It wasn't there.
All right. Okay, now I tell you what. I'm going to ask you to misemotionalize. Remember, we're going to do this at tone 40. So I want you to get used to the idea of the words expressing some sort of emotion, but the intention being at 40. I'll give you an example. Sit down. Stand up. Thank you. Misemotionalize it. Any emotional tone you can think of, you express that with your words. But your intention, we want at 40. Now, let's see you do that.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you. That's real hard to put the intention into it when you've got an emotion mixed in with it.
Yeah, isn't it?
That's real hard.
All right. Now, exactly what am I trying to do with her now? Exactly what am I trying to do? I'm trying to disassociate words and lower toned emotions from the intentions. Right? I'm trying to get these things split apart so they're no longer the same. You got that? That was the purpose of that particular stage of the drill. Well, now I want you to just do it straight a few times. We flatten that one too, but we're not going to do this.
Stand up.
Okay.
Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
Go ahead, do it some more.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
All right, how's that now?
It's better.
Getting better?
Mm-hmm. It gets better.
Now, part of this drill would also be the coach opening up on her. You're going to have to forgive me for doing this to you, but I'm going to. The coach opens up on her in this fashion. Now, she's doing a little bit better here now. She were a lot better than this. This is about what the coach would do. He would start to run a sort of a high school indoc attitude on her. See? All right, let's do it some more.
Stand up. Thank you.
Josh, you know that wasn't tone 40. You just know it wasn't.
Okay.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Don't want to be so agreeable. Go on, do it some more.
Sit down. Thank you. Again?
Go ahead, do it some more. You haven't done it yet.
Stand up. Thank you.
That worked right there, didn't it?
Yeah, sorry.
Good guy. Well, let's get it in this.
Let's
get it in that.
Okay.
Permeate the whole thing. We don't want just one little spot in there. We want to do the whole thing.
All over it.
Yeah, that's right. All in it. Not all over it.
Oh, inside. Okay. Sit down.
Better?
Well, right anyway.
There.
Thank you.
That went there. Come on, let's do it.
Stand up.
Now, don't get mad about it. Don't get mad.
Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
Well, sit down.
Stand up. Thank you.
We're getting it accidentally from time to time.
Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
We don't want it around here. Now, you get it right in there. Just try that thing again.
Thank you.
Do better. Get it in there.
Thank you.
All right, now get its intention to receive your thanks. Just do that without saying thank you. Get an intention in there to receive your thanks.
Okay.
Is that receptive to your thanks?
Yeah.
All right, now tell thank you and get the intention that it's thanked.
Thank you.
All right, that's it. Now you did that better that time. Huh? All right, I want you to do it a few more times.
Stand up. Thank you.
You know, it's right here. You want the intention to go into it right here.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Sit down. Thank you. Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
Will that bite?
No.
We won't. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's just hit it at 10:40. Come on.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
All right. Now, that was simply a rattling tactic. There is the coach furnishing the counter emotion. Now, you got this? So we first get her fairly good here. So she could cut through her own emotion and in turbulence and so on. And then we get it so that she could cut through even though the coach was throwing stuff up into it. So, now that can be stepped up almost infinitely. We could even throw mock-ups in the road and knock their intentions silly. It's quite odd. I wasn't doing that to you. But I'm doing this very rapidly. I'm just showing you the necessary stages of it. The reason I'm using Joyce, by the way, is she's very, very accustomed to handling mist, as a sculptress would be. And, you know, she isn't stumbling around now. I know that I couldn't rattle her. Probably couldn't rattle her with a brick bat or a bowl of string. Now, I could, however, embarrass her with some praise, which is the only thing that's wrong. So do it again, and I'll show you that's true.
Stand up. Thank you.
You're doing very well. That was very good, that last one.
Stand up.
See? And I'm not going to nag you. I'm going to give you a little opportunity to flatten this out. Now, just put the intention in it to stand up and thank it. Intention in it to sit down and put it down and thank it. Now, you just get those two intentions going, and you're real good here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you. Stand up. Stand up. Thank you. Sit down.
Now, Joyce, I'm going to show you a little trick.
Thank you.
Just for this time, and this isn't the way to do it, I'm just going to show you a trick that will help you overcome something here.
All right.
Put your attention around and hit it in the back. Put your attention around and hit it for back.
Still trying to go through it?
Yes, just stop trying to go through it.
Okay.
And put it on the other side. That isn't the proper way to do it. This is just part of a drill where we'll eventually get it to permeate directly.
Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you. Stand up. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you.
How are you doing with it?
Well, yeah, that's rather odd.
It is odd, isn't
it?
It
is.
Are you doing this better than you were originally?
I think so.
Well, do it a couple of more times until you're a little more sure that you're doing
I could do this a lot better.
You could do this better. You see that there's some possibility of improvement in this.
Yes.
You see where you're going. Mm-hmm. And using you as an example of your this ruins your future ability, isn't it?
No. Probably helped it a lot.
Well, will you do something for me?
Sure.
Will you just take a colored ashtray or something of the sort and do 2 or 3 hours of that for me?
Mm-hmm. All right.
By yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll have that ashtray standing up there, too.
Okay, I'm sure she will. Thank you, Clark. Quite amazing, the simplicity of a drill. But what I've told you about it is essentially the material that is used in coaching, and that is the way it's coached. Give you a little story about this drill. There was a girl on the London staff when I went over to London in April. I took with me CCH and these various drills, and I started checking through the entire London auditing staff on these drills and bringing them up. Started it at that time. For 1 week, one of the staff auditors there, a very pleasant girl and usually a very good auditor, was auditing a preclear who was stark staring mad. This auditor, for some reason or other, was going all to pieces over the idea of auditing this girl. Evidently, it was quite re-stimulative in some fashion or another, and she was being given a change of pace in auditing, and this upset her too. She was using a technique with which she wasn't familiar, but it was very upsetting. This person still had 2 weeks to go. So I said to this auditor, having listened to some of her auditing, you tell a rag doll at home to stand up and thank it, sit down and thank it. You practice going back and forth to work. You do it at home. And you get that flap so that you can get an intention in there. She did it over the weekend. She came back, picked up this cycle by the scruff of the neck, and for 2 weeks audited with no re-stimulation at a terrific level of accomplishment. Same auditor. The only difference, there'd been no processing, the only difference had been that she had run for many hours tone 40 on an object on an old Raggedy Ann doll. Now that was the sole difference there. It was quite a remarkable change for one auditor. She did it uncoached, without very many directions or very much know-how. She simply did it. Now, that's what can be done with that. I have no idea what would happen if we ran 80 or 100 hours. I have no idea what would happen if the ultimate in coaching was used on it and each part of it was flattened. But I rather think it's as Joyce said, that all the mess would be standing up on end. Thank you.